Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. For students, teachers, and parents, the end of the summer is almost here. And for those who went back to school today, it's over. Today, just about a half hour ago, U.S. Secretary of Education Arne Duncan started a national back-to-school tour in Springfield, Massachusetts. Last week, after the state won $250 million in federal Race to the Top money, Duncan praised Massachusetts for its high marks.
Massachusetts, as you know, has a long history of education reform and has helped to drive the national conversation. Are very well deserved to be in that top group.
So this week, it's back to the stores for school supplies for parents and students, and it's back to the negotiating table for administrators and union officials in Boston. The Boston teachers' contract expires tomorrow. Boston School Superintendent Carol Johnson said last week that she'd like to see longer school days and merit pay for teachers based on student test scores, two ideas that make some teachers bristle. We'll be speaking with Superintendent Johnson later this week. But right now, we're joined in the studio by Richard Stuttman. He's the president of the Boston Teachers Union. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mr. Stuttman.
Hello.
So when Boston School Superintendent Carol Johnson suggested that teachers' pay be linked to their performance, you came out firmly opposed to that idea. Why are you opposed?
Well, she's come out for a few things. One is an extension of the school day, which we support. Another is an extension, the granting of school-wide bonuses to teachers, which we support. She has not come out, to my knowledge, of paying teachers for performance directly, nor has she come out for individual merit pay. And we have not discussed any of these topics that I've just mentioned at the bargaining table yet.
But if not discussed at the bargaining table, she has at least said, in speaking with reporters and to the public, that she thinks that teachers shouldn't just be paid lockstep based on the years they've worked and the degrees they've earned. There'd be some sort of more subjective, really, way to measure their performance.
You know, she may have said that. I can tell you that when we negotiated the conditions on turnaround schools and she made a proposal on how to reconfigure the teacher pay at turnaround schools, we had an agreement on that, and she did not propose what you just said. So I can't tell you what she intends to propose. She hasn't been at the negotiating table, but her team has not proposed that.
The Race to the Top money, which was awarded to Massachusetts last week, it's a huge amount of money, $250 million. Mm-hmm. There are some teachers concerned that it comes with strings attached, that in order to get it, Massachusetts had to agree that it would at least try to look into this idea of evaluating teachers in a more subjective way. How do we judge their performance? Is it based on student test scores? What are your general thoughts about moving in that direction?
I think most professionals have the same thoughts that I have, that it's very difficult to attach a significance from a test score to a teacher's performance. I think it's very difficult. Some teachers are, frankly, not as good as others, but they get better test results, and the opposite is true. It is not too difficult to teach to the test. And I think to encourage that is a disservice to our profession and what education ought to mean to children in this country. We're trying to develop thinkers who are enthusiastic. We're not trying to develop bubble sheet folks who know how to do it. And I think most people would agree with me in the profession. And I think what some would like is just an easy way out to measure very quickly what they say is teacher performance based on how their students answer a test in one subject or another.
Listeners, we're talking with Richard Stuttman. He's president of the Boston Teachers Union, which tomorrow has a contract that expires, so that's being negotiated. Listeners, how do you think our teachers should be evaluated? Should their pay be linked to test scores? Should your teacher's performance evaluation be linked to how well your child does in class? And if teachers are required to work a longer school day, should they be paid for that extra time? Or should teachers not expect to be paid like hourly factory workers, but like many private sector workers who put in the extra hours and never see that time? Give us a call. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also participate in a live web chat at radioboston.org. So, Mr. Stuttman, on the issue of evaluation, how do you think, then, that teachers should be evaluated, and who should evaluate them?
Well, the way they're evaluated now is a principal can walk into a classroom whenever he or she wants, sit down for as long as he or she wants and do a range of assessments on the teacher's ability, whether it's classroom management, subject know-how, and so on. I think that works fairly well. The problem with it is it's reasonably subjective. And what we've proposed in negotiations is to send in a team of evaluators to take a look at how a teacher is performing when there's a dispute, and on occasion there is a dispute. I think to add a component of a test score does a few things. It too narrowly defines what teaching is and what it ought to be, and I think every listener probably remembers a teacher that they had who may have been a little quirky, who was very enthusiastic, who probably generated a love for learning and showed a love for teaching, and yet the test scores may or may not have been terrific. The other problem with test scores is they only test, the test scores common today only test two subjects, and has nothing to do, the tests have nothing to do with history or social studies or sometimes
arts.
Even science or the arts. And what this does is it narrows the focus of what is taught. And so you'll have a student in a Boston public school who, whether the student is adept or not adept and doesn't know his or her subject matter, will be given a double period in either English or math. And I think what that does is stifles the education. And instead of broadening what the child learns every day and giving the child a reason to go to school for either art or music or chemistry, having that child take a two-hour block in math and two-hour block in English guarantees only one thing, and that is boredom.
Do you think that the current way of paying teachers, which is, as I said, basically a lockstep method, it's how many years you've been teaching and what degrees you have, is that adequate?
Well, you know, we have a series of proposals on the table, along with the school department, to reward schools that do well by giving bonuses to teachers and paraprofessionals in those schools. We also have proposed a series of additional duties and responsibilities that the best teachers could apply for. And that would go a long way, I believe, to rewarding teachers financially, giving teachers a reason to stay in the profession, and drawing the best out of those teachers.
Listeners, we're talking to Richard Stuttman. He's president of the Boston Teachers Union. Give us a call. We'd like to hear how you think teachers should be evaluated and whether performance evaluation should be linked to how well students do and how well they score on tests. We have a call from an Amy from Malden. Hi, Amy. What's your thought about this?
Hi, Sasha. I've been an educator now in special education for 10 years, and I feel pretty strongly that having evaluations linked to test scores is not a good idea. The students I work with are traditionally students who've experienced a number of traumas in their life, along with having learning disabilities, emotional disabilities, and many of these students do not perform well on these tests and may never perform well on these tests due to anxiety alone. Some of my students score off the charts when we do actual educational testing for ability. But their performance sometimes is really based on the setting. And when my students graduate, they know how to be creative thinkers in a modern world. And that's what I want my kids to know, not how to, you know, answer the essay in the right format per the state.
Thanks, Amy. Richard Stuttman, Amy makes a good point. You know, kids
She makes a very good point. And in Boston, over 20% of our educators are special ed teachers, and they would agree with Amy.
Absolutely. Kids come from different backgrounds. They have different family homes. All those things, more than just the classroom environment, obviously impact how kids test. Let's talk also about another piece of sort of a controversial part of this contract negotiation, which has been Superintendent Johnson has been quite open about saying that she believes teachers should work a longer school day. She thinks it should be at least 7 hours. Now it's somewhere around the 6.5 range. You've said you're not opposed to that, but you think teachers should be paid for the extra time.
If I could negotiate a 7-hour workday for our teachers, they would be very happy because they work a lot longer than that right now.
So it would be less than
now. I did hear in your earlier discussion that you, I'm sorry, in your earlier presentation, you said that hourly workers pretty much get paid by the hour, and we shouldn't be like hourly workers. Well, lawyers and doctors also get paid by the case. And if you ask a teacher to work an extra 2 hours a day on the clock, and we're not talking about work done at home, because most teachers will tell you, or if you have a friend or a neighbor who's a teacher, that they spend an hour or two at the very least every evening getting ready for the next day or finishing up work from the current day. So lots of people in the professions get paid additional money for working extra. We are not opposed to an extension of the school day. We do think it should come with proportional compensation.
We have another call. This is Ed from Dorchester. Ed, I understand you're a former principal. What is your thought about this?
Yeah, I'm a former Boston principal. My thought is kind of building on something Richard said a few minutes ago, that principals have a whole arsenal of tools if they think a teacher is inadequate. Tools to first bring up to that teacher what their inadequacies are, then to remediate those, and if the teacher is not cooperating, to then remove them. And I've done that as a Boston principal with the support of the BTU, who I regard as very high-quality unionists.
But, Ed, you know, it's notoriously not that easy for teachers to be removed, teachers who might deserve to be removed. In fact, one of the things that Carol Johnson, I believe, wants in this new contract is greater flexibility for administrators in hiring teachers and in changing staffing assignments. Mr. Stutman, president of the Boston Teachers Union, what's your thought about that?
Well, we have a joke. By the way, hello, Ed.
Hi.
I do recognize the voice, and Ed is correct. A principal who puts his or her mind to it can make sure the school runs smoothly, and that teachers who need to be removed or teachers who need counseling or help get it. We have an expression on staff that the school department seeks continually to idiot-proof the contract, which in our, just to translate that, they want us to get rid of every roadblock there is. And by roadblock, they mean any mistake that a principal could make. They want to make sure that we avoid those mistakes. The contract isn't all that complex. I know that there are people fond of saying it's 250 pages and what have you, but the real guts of the contract are basically a dozen or two dozen pages. A principal can walk into a classroom in the city any day of the week without notice and make an evaluation of a teacher. It takes a little hard work, and it takes some guts, let's say, but it doesn't take the BTU contract isn't the obstacle to a principal's walking in the classroom and doing what the principal feels needs to be done. And it is hypocritical for a principal to say, I can't do it, my hands are tied. That is a lazy principal.
Do you think that the current system in Boston for weeding out bad teachers is effective?
Oh, absolutely. We have dozens of teachers right now who are being counseled one way or another, either out of the profession or into a resignation, or they're preferably trying to get remedial help. We have roughly 35 teachers in that category right now.
Listeners, we're talking to Richard Stutman. He's president of the Boston Teachers Union. Call us and tell us how you think teachers should be evaluated and whether teachers' performance should be linked to their students' test scores, whether teachers should have to work a longer school day, as Boston's school superintendent Carol Johnson thinks they should. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's at 1-800-423-TALK. Mr. Stutman, as we've said, last week Massachusetts received $250,000 in Race to the Top money. There is some concern that comes with strings attached, meaning teachers might have to agree to merit pay, pay-per-performance, longer days. Are you worried that by accepting this money, this could end up having a negative impact on teaching in Massachusetts?
Well, first of all, we didn't sign on to it. The Boston Teachers Union did sign on Race to the Top 1, but did not sign on Race to the Top 2. I'd rather answer the question and say, will I think this have a negative effect on teaching? Absolutely. I think forcing people to do what you think is right, whether it's expanding charter schools, whether it's instituting individual merit pay, or whether it's a pay for performance of any other sort, without asking the professionals who actually work day-to-day doing that, both management and union, I think is a mistake. And I think what the Obama administration has done is set up we call it a race to the bottom, because folks are chasing money. And even though the $250 million sounds like a lot of money, the city of Boston only gets $9 million out of it. And $9 million over a four-year period, so $36 million altogether, isn't an awful lot of money. And to say that in return for that, the city had to double the number of charter schools, and that's an equitable trade-off, is nonsense. Because the city schools are losing $60 or $70 million a year, beginning in the year 2013, for this, I'll say, lousy $9 million. I'm not sure the exchange is worth it.
So we might want to give a bit of background here. Race to the Top 1 refers to the first round of funding in which Massachusetts did not
receive
money.
There were two states, Delaware and
Tennessee,
who got the money the first round.
Race to the Top 2 announced last week. Massachusetts got a huge hunk of money.
We did.
So already that money has been apportioned, and you're saying Boston already knows the amount of it that it will get.
I believe Boston expects to get $9 million a year for 4 years.
Okay. How would you say your negotiations, your contract negotiations are going right now? You've been going for a few weeks and you're still at the table.
Yeah, that's not unexpected. We'll go for many more months. We actually started in March, not a few weeks ago. And I expect we will conclude as we normally do sometime in the late winter, early spring, hopefully sooner. I believe we have common ground on issues such as merit pay, and I say group merit pay or team merit pay, not individual merit pay. And I believe the school department agrees with us on that concept.
So would group merit pay be, for example, a group of teachers, maybe one science, one math, one English, who work with a group of students? How would that work?
The group merit pay really means school merit pay. We have already signed an agreement for our turnaround schools back in June. And all of the teachers in a turnaround school will get a small bonus if the school improves. Not individual teachers. That is the direction we're looking in Boston in the master bargain, and I think it's a direction that the school department is looking in. In fact, that is their proposal. On some of the other issues, I don't think we're that far apart on the extended day. I think it's just a matter of compensation. I'm not sure every child's day ought to be extended, but right now in Boston, we have four extended learning schools. We have 19 pilot schools. We have 12 extended day schools in the turnaround mode. So we have probably a third of our students already going an extended day. Some of them get paid appropriately and some of them do not, unfortunately. I don't think we'll have a tough bargain on that except for the finances. And I think we will eventually reach an agreement on performance evaluation.
We also have a call from Akeisha from Braintree. Hi, Akeisha. What is your thought about this?
Hi, Sasha. Thank you for taking my call. Sasha, I strongly believe that all teachers should be evaluated by an outside agency because principals tend to bond with other teachers, so there would be a sense of unfairness if certain teachers get really good evaluations and certain teachers don't. And to be fair to all teachers, it should be done by an independent agency that can come in anytime and evaluate the teacher.
So Richard Stutman, she's saying that teachers or principals really can't be subjective because they naturally, by human nature, get close to some teachers and maybe not so close to others.
I'll bring you to a few schools next week and we'll see how close people can really get. I understand the point of bringing in an objective person, and I think in some cases it's warranted. I think in many cases, probably the vast majority, it's not necessary to bring anyone in because the principal is very well satisfied, the teacher is satisfied, and there's no reason to spend time, money, or resources on any other system.
In the little time we have left, could you tell us briefly, what does your union need from the city in order to reach a contract?
That's a very good question. I think we need to be listened to, we need to be treated with respect, and we need to be told by the city and understood that we are part of the solution, not part of the problem. Teachers, more than anything else, want to close the achievement gap. Teachers, more than anything else, want to be part of a school that works well. We are not interested in fighting over small issues. The contract to us is a broad document, but there are very, very few things and provisions in that contract that we look to every day to resolve issues. We, by and large, look to be reasonable, and I would say that school administration, by and large, does the same.
Mr. Stutman, thank you for joining us. Richard Stutman is president of the Boston Teachers Union. Coming up, with tensions rising over a proposal to build an Islamic community center in New York City, we check in with members of Massachusetts' Muslim community and ask, what's the environment like for Muslims here? Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.